Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is Tuesday, January 30th. Hard to believe it's January, isn't it? So strange. So strange, the weather we've been having. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I was sort of revisiting some of my roots earlier today, doing man on the street interviews a la the old Good Question segment. We were trying to decide, Dan, like, what do we call? And we're going to bring you some of this on the radio. What do we call it? You can't, like, do you call it Good Question? Because that sort of feels like a ripoff from the, you know, stealing the TV stations bit. You call it like...
Call it Better Question.
Pretty Good Question?
No, go up, don't go down.
Better?
Yeah.
Really Good Question? I don't know. There's some options here. So we'll have some of that tomorrow. And make sure you're following us on Instagram. You can follow DeRusha J. You can follow WCCO Radio, but that's where we're sharing a lot of the video content that we're creating, too, because just hearing us on the radio is not enough. It is Tuesday. We always bring you some interesting people from the food and drink and agriculture space. We're talking eating. We're talking food. We thank the Minnesota Pork Board for bringing us DeRusha Eats. Our guest today was maybe one of the biggest names in the craft brewing industry in the Twin Cities. Now he is across the river running just an outstanding bar in Hudson, Wisconsin. It's called the Nova Bar. Brett Splinter joins us here. It's so good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, dude. I appreciate it.
You're a podcaster, you're a brewer, you're a bar operator, you're flipping burgers.
I was a podcaster just because, like, you know, during the pandemic, middle-aged white guy.
It's required.
And I had already done craft beer, right?
That's right.
So that checked.
You've checked all of the stereotypical boxes.
I had a beard, you know, yeah. I smoked some meats. And I
so did. It's all there. You had to.
Very JV, though, compared to
I mean, I'm doing this. What can I say? Sometimes the stereotypes are true. What has it been like running Nova Bar?
You know, it's been cool, and you've been out there, obviously.
I love it,
and appreciate that. And it's, people talk about, like, the other side of the river, like it's
a foreign country.
Like you have to take the Oregon Trail.
Yes,
Timmy's gonna die of diphtheria crossing. But, like, so I live in Woodbury. I live in the East Metro. It's quicker door to door for me to get to Hudson than it is to get to St. Paul.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So, like, opening a spot over there was pretty logical as far as proximity to the river. I think we're doing something over there that really hasn't been in town over there yet. I don't know.
I think that's right.
I mean, do you agree? Like, it's, we're trying to do a cool bar, dive bar, still elevated drinks, but no pretension. I mean,
what have you found? You know, you were one of the, well, you founded your own brewery here in St. Paul.
Yep, with a couple other guys, but Barrel Theory in St. Paul. We started that in 2016.
And how is it different? Is the customer different in Wisconsin at all?
You know, I would say it's interesting because even though it is a different state, I'd say 40% of our client base is still Twin Cities folks.
Oh, really?
Coming out that, for sure. And I was kind of surprised by that. But what is cool is there's a very, very, very loyal, small town, local, like, community contingency that also really makes up our customers.
Oh, interesting.
And what's cool is that's what helps in the wintertime, right? I mean, Hudson, Stillwater, these are river towns. These are tourist towns, but in the wintertime, we get to hang with the locals, and I like it. It's
Brett Splinter is with us. Your path to beer and to bar and to food is not a traditional path. This wasn't what you thought you were going to do.
Dude, I used to work in IT. I worked in information technology. Had the whole kind of, you know, moment of clarity where maybe sitting in a cubicle wasn't right for me. And
what was that like? Like, what did you just feel it coming on, or did you feel like?
I think there's in the term, you know, the term, like, the golden handcuffs. You've heard of that, right? Mm-hmm. You go down a path and you think, well, I've done this for so long. I'm well compensated with what I do. And let's be real, I worked in IT, so right, nobody knew what I did. I got to sit at my desk. Yeah. You know, like at the end of the day, as cheesy as it is, it's not super self-gratifying, self-fulfilling for me. And I think that's what drove it. Like, I like helping people. I like getting people happy with food, booze, and, you know, where I was at, I wasn't having that itch necessarily scratched. And you gotta do what you want, what you love. And I think when you start doing what you love, you get better at it, and it shows. I have a lot of friends that, you know, I used to work with that keep saying, like, oh, wow, that's cool. Must be nice to do that. And like, there's not a golden ticket. There's not a cheat code. You just got to do it, you know.
Did you know? Was there a point where you're like, I know. I got to do it. I got to jump.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I started working part-time at Surly while I was, like, working in information technology.
What made you do that? You just wanted to learn more about beer?
Yeah, you know, love of beer. I was homebrewing, like I said. I was checking all the nerd boxes, right? It was like, you know, make a pretty great IPA in my garage. Started volunteering for Surly, and that evolved into Omar hired me as – I was Surly's first part-time employee, actually.
Huh.
And I ran their tour program and helped out with kind of guest stuff over at the old Brooklyn Center Brewery. And then it was kind of cool. There's some overlap because I helped with some of the infrastructure design on the network side for
the new place.
The new sexy place. Yeah.
So, cool.
So, yeah, it worked out. But the moment was definitely starting at Surly, getting ingrained in that culture, in that community, and seeing, you know, seeing how I felt leaving Brooklyn Center.
Yeah.
You know, after basically volunteering versus leaving a desk job.
So. You know, one of the things I think about in our community that I think is sort of interesting is that certain parts of this town have a bar culture, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean, and certain parts don't. So, like, Minneapolis, there are parts of Minneapolis, parts of Northeast that have a bar culture.
For sure.
But in general, I used to live in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now that's a bar town. And I think our listeners, especially people who live in greater Minnesota, understand what that is. It's not about getting plastered.
Nope.
It's about sitting down at a bar.
Yep.
Feeling like no one's going to judge you if you want to order a Coors Light or
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where here in the cities, I feel a little more, and I don't think it's intentional pretentious, but it's not bar culture.
It's almost a little bit of an identity crisis, right? Where I think some of the places out there are trying to emulate what's going on in a scene like Chicago or San Diego or New York. And we're not there. I don't think we're going to get there. I don't think we should get there. I think we have our own great, cool identity. But by trying to constantly, you know, chase trends and not just listen to your customers, because people that live in Minneapolis, St. Paul are different people than that live in Chicago and Miami. And it's cool to take pieces of that culture and bring it in. But, yeah, I agree. I've been traveling a lot lately and just literally like trying to find some pieces to bring back, but at the same time, keep the ethos of what makes the Midwest cool.
Brett Splinter is with us. He runs and owns Nova Bar in Hudson. Part of the fun, I think, of what you've created at that bar in Hudson is that it's also come along with these sort of pop-ups, these food pop-ups. Talk a little bit about how that kind of came about.
Yeah, so I mean, like, food pop-ups and like ghost kitchen residency stuff like that has always been really intriguing to me, and maybe it's partially coming from craft beer where there's that perceived exclusivity. You know, a guest wants to find something that is new, is maybe smaller, is a little bit exclusive. But for us at Nova, the reason we started doing it is it gave us flexibility right off the bat. I'm not hiring a back of house. I'm not hiring a kitchen.
You had a kitchen.
We have a kitchen, and we had, you know, the old place had it fully built out. We basically pared it down to kind of like more of a prep kitchen in preparation for doing this kind of ghost residency stuff. And in turn, it's allowed us to have a lot of cool places come in. Selfishly, I pop my burger pop up out there. I mean, it works great.
Right.
But also like
– That's private sector provisions,
yeah,
your
private
burger
sector.
Pop-up.
Yep. So we do that every Wednesday. We had Boomin' Barbecue in there, which is – you know, Dylan's killing it.
Incredible barbecue.
Amazing, amazing barbecue. He's working on a new project. And what's cool is it allows that flexibility, right? So he can come in there, pop up, do his thing, run lean, not necessarily have a giant staff, not have HR nightmares. Anyone in the restaurant industry can tell you labor is one of the toughest things to control.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win. And it keeps it fresh for the guests too, Right now we have placeholder pizza project. So Anthony from Melt Pizza, he's doing his test kitchen pizza in there now. And
he's doing like a different style.
Exactly.
Right?
And it allows him, basically it's kind of, you know, a litmus test. He doesn't have to put things into full production in his restaurant in Stillwater.
Yeah.
Shout out to Melt. I think you've been there. It's amazing.
It's really good.
But what's cool is that at our place, he can try some different things, try a different sauce, try something that he can do on a little bit smaller scale, get it in front of guests. And what's cool is there's familiarity, right?
Yeah.
We could say, hey, it's Anthony, you know, Melt, sweet. But at the same time, they feel like they're getting a treat.
Do you like – so, like, your burger project often sells out before, you know.
Yep.
It sells out fast.
It does, yeah.
Is that good or bad? Like, it's, as – you know what I mean?
That's a good question. No, it's the it is absolutely the most difficult metric to control, right? There's a few things. We won't do any – I don't do any frozen product. I don't have a ton of resources to keep stuff, but also, like, our buns are made fresh every morning. Alyssa from Melt makes them. So I have this limited number of burgers that I can do. Yeah, the first knee jerk is like, well, if I can make this much money and this many people happy doing this, double it. It doesn't work that way, though. It's not exponential. It's once again, it's that exclusivity piece.
But when you miss it, you're like, I missed it. Oh, I got to get it. But then it does make you want it more. You're like, I got to get out there. I got
to
get it.
We had a guy to that point. We had a guy that came out a couple weeks ago, and he came out from the West Metro and got a hotel in Hudson.
So he could
get our burger.
What? I mean, did you perform? Were you, like, was it? I mean, talk about performance anxiety.
So he came out about 5 minutes after we sold out.
No!
Oh, dude. And this is the downside. And this is where I'm just like, oh, my God. And now, usually and luckily, what we do is I hold back, you know, a couple for when I drop one.
An emergency.
Or an emergency. Right. Like, you know, my mom's going to come or something.
Right.
But it was great. And he wasn't really that upset. I also, running it small like this, it allows...
What a great story for him, in a way. He gets a great story.
But what's cool is it allows me then also, with this size operation that I'm doing, it's never like, all right, well, reach out to customer care. And like, no, dude, here's my personal Instagram. Add me. Message me. Here's my number. Hit me up next time you're coming, and I'm going to buy you a burger and make sure you get one.
Yeah.
So it is... It's that exclusivity, and it's fun. The product is a small portion of any type of experience with stuff like this.
Oh, let's pick up on that. Yep. That's really interesting. 4:20, we'll take a break here on Drive Time with DeRussia. DeRussia Eats, Brent Splinter, the owner of Nova Bar, private sector provisions. Lots of cool stuff, and lots of cool stuff going on in Hudson as well in the food scene. Back in just a minute on CCO. DeRussia Eats continues here on Drive Time with DeRussia. Brent Splinter is our guest, the owner of Nova Bar, which is part of the Casanova, right? Right by Casanova Liquor Store, right?
Share a building with them.
Nice people.
They're great. They're awesome. OG's in the game. Used to be very, very popular on Sundays at Casanova Liquor.
Oh.
Yeah, they're the first
one. Because they're the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very true. Mm-hmm. Sunday liquor sales maybe is here in Minnesota has changed things a bit for them.
Oh, for sure it has. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
You had mentioned that the food, the product, is only a small part of the experience. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, like, overall, I think for me, we talked about, why do you get into this industry? It's about making people feel good, making people feel happy. I think you obviously have to have a quality product. That's non-negotiable. It has to be competent. It has to be craveable. It has to be something people want, whether it's beer, cocktails, food, anything. But what makes me feel good when I go out is the experience I have at the place.
Yeah.
And a very, very, very specific example. You go to Brunson's in St. Paul, you know. Tommy.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
I go into Brunson's in St. Paul off Payne. There's a Miller High Life set down on the bar. Steve or Tommy pops it open, and we just start talking and hanging out.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of Miller High Life. Like, that's not...
Yeah.
Right. I'm not trying, you know. Like, and, like, that's a specific example. I went there one time. I went there one time with my kid. My kid's 16 now, but we went there to grab lunch. And he's like, Dad, you know, you get a Miller High Life, you have a bar where there's a bunch of that. You have a bunch of that at home. Like, why don't you get something different?
Right, right.
And I don't know. Why do grandma's chicken tenders taste better than the ones you make?
Yeah.
You're there.
In the moment.
It makes you feel good. It's the moment. And that's what we're really trying to do at Nova. And honestly, with private sector, too. Being strictly a pop-up model, it allows us to be in the guest's face, for better, term. We're not hidden in a kitchen. We're here. We want to hang out. We want to listen to tunes. We want to make sure you're enjoying yourself.
Describe your burger.
Sure.
Like, what makes your burger special?
Our burger, what I love about our burger is the fact that I don't think there's a ton of pretension to it. It's Oklahoma style, which means the onions are smashed into it, right? So super thin onions, boom, smashed. But there's no truffle. There's no, we don't even do bacon. I don't do anything crazy. It's a very, very competent double cheeseburger. And also, hang our hat on the fact it's $10. Like,
it helps, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And there's not a lot of a secret to it. I think we put a lot of thought into making it. But at the end of the day, it's simple. It's consistent, which is also important. If you're going to drive across town and get a hotel room to get this burger, it should probably taste, taste good.
Yeah.
Probably look like the cool, sexy Instagram picture that somebody took. So,
It's time for pick a question.
Okay.
Pick a number between 1 and 38.
A number between 1 and 38. Yeah. 21.
21. Oh. Is there a book that you're reading now? Are you a reader?
I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, I'm an audiobook guy.
Doesn't count. Pick another number.
Good. Thank God.
Answer is no.
Let's go 28.
28.
Yeah.
What is the lock screen on your cell phone?
Right now?
Yeah, what's on it?
So it rotates, but I'll show you. Okay.
We'll see if this is safe for radio.
It is. It's safe for, well, it's definitely safe for radio.
Yeah, that's
So it goes between two.
Okay.
It's either this one, which is the front of a
Miller,
High Life race car that my buddy Pete took. Super cool.
Nice.
But also this is.
That's good. That's a good lock screen.
Yeah.
Or Steve Carell from
The
Office.
It's Michael Scott making his, there's not a video, but his face.
Yeah.
Because usually when I open my phone, that's what.
That's very good.
So.
Three restaurant recommendations from Brett Splinter.
Oh, boy. All right.
It's tough because you are everywhere. I run into you often.
Yeah.
Which is sort of funny.
It is. It actually is very cool. It proves that I hang out at really cool places.
Well, or I do, yeah. hard to say.
6-1. Okay, I got to go St. Dinette off the bat. No-brainer. Niver spot, Lower Town. Can't say.
So good.
Can't say enough good about that. St. Dinette, I'm gonna keep it all on that side of town, and I'm going to go Chip's Clubhouse.
Yes, very. A number of guests have said that, which makes me happy. It's such a nice spot.
Tim Leary behind the bar there, dude is amazing.
On Snelling.
Yeah.
Next to Hot Hands and Pie.
Yeah, same folks.
Yeah.
Right in that area, Tangletown or whatever there.
Really?
And then last one, even though it's more a bar, I don't think they get enough credit for their food at Brunson's.
We're gonna have Thomas and Molly on.
Heck yeah, they're amazing.
So they're awesome.
And Torrance, their chef, he's got great chops.
Yes.
So he's making.
I put that on my top 75 restaurant list at Minnesota Monthly, which
man.
I'm like,
dude. Yeah.
Well, I feel like I'm the only one, but Joy Summer is actually at the Star Tribune is who introduced me to that place.
Awesome, and
she's really good.
She's awesome too, by the way.
Yeah,
she's a sweetheart. But yeah, I'd go those three, and they're all St. Paul.
That's really good.
What a homer!
You are a homer. Pathetic.
I know.
Brett, thank you. Go to Hudson. Maybe book a hotel. I don't know. Not a lot of great hotels.
I live in Woodbury. You can stay at my place.
There you go. All right.
Thanks, Jason.
Appreciate it. Brett from Nova Bar. That's DeRush Eats, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board. It is 4:31. We'll do traffic and weather together. And then next, speed and red light cameras. It's time. Especially with the fact that officers are way too busy to pull you absolutely terrible drivers over. We'll talk about it. Love to hear from you, too, at 651-461-9226.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I don't know if any of you guys can hear this, because apparently our signal is full of static. It's pretty amazing. So first of all, we're on the radio. Sometimes, equipment goes down or There's some digital stuff that I, you know, what do I know? I hit a button that says on, start talking. This is the extent of my radio technical.
You're not an engineer.
I'm not an engineer.
No, neither of us are, really.
I do think it's funny that, like, our, when did this, and some people are trying to listen through the static, so God bless you guys. That
yes.
is so nice.
We love you all.
So thank you for texting in. We know we got some problems.
And now, well,
so
now,
when did you hear from the big shots?
Well, speaking of the big shot, he just texted me right now. It was just after 4 o'clock that I heard from the big shot initially. Now he's telling me that the signal just got better.
Oh.
So we're hoping that it's been
everybody says it's fixed. Thank you.
There you go.
Better now?
We apologize for that. I don't know what was going on.
I apologize for nothing. I didn't do a dang thing.
We as a station, Jason, of which you are a part.
No one even told me. Isn't it weird that, doesn't it seem strange that no one texted me?
Not really.
You just didn't want me to, like, lose my focus?
Exactly.
Just wanted
you were locked in a conversation.
Same high-level quality you expect from this show?
Was there anything you could have done about it?
Yeah, I would have probably thrown a fit.
No,
would have been crabby, would have been sad.
So you just focus on talking to Nova Bar guy.
You just look pretty.
And then those of us that actually, you know, do the work around here will take care of the problem.
My friend Dan is texting me. He's mad that I gave Joy Summers credit for introducing me to Brunson's when he would like the credit.
Okay.
So I think Dan is listening. No problem with the signal because he's like in Mexico on vacation.
Yeah.
Does it help our ratings if we have listeners from Mexico? Probably.
The ratings, no.
They're agnostic. The ratings are.
Doesn't count streaming.
Everybody says it's better now. This is great.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have fixed it.
What are you talking about?
This would be a great way to get people to sign up for the podcast. The sound on podcast is always glorious.
Crystal clear.
FM even. Sort of FM-like, right? Stereo?
Yeah, I don't think so, no.
You think it sounds bad?
I don't think it sounds bad, but it's a mono feed. It's not a stereo feed.
So when you listen on HD radio.
Yes.
That is, it's still a mono feed.
Yes.
It just sounds better.
Now,
the HD signal is still down, right?
I have not heard that it's back up yet. I know they were working on it. Yes.
What's happening?
Well, that's what I wonder, if the two things were connected, if something's going goofy out at the transmitter.
Do you think, like, when it comes to the radio station,
when
you have, like, I had dreams of as a kid, right? Like, I grew up listening to the radio as a kid and just thought it was magical and could, like, the first time I got to tour a radio station was WGN Radio in Chicago, which is like a big time. Right. So that's what I thought radio was.
Well, like, I mean, in some cases.
And this is pretty big time, too. Yeah. Like, a big studio, lots of microphones. Yeah. Like, I would have lost my mind as a teenager coming to see WCCO radio. And, like, also, I know that, like, it's possible that our signal was down because someone tripped over a wire at a transmitter site.
It's entirely possible.
Or, like, rats chewed through a cable.
Could have been.
All of these things are.
You know, the warm weather. Maybe you got some animals waking up. They're a little hungry.
You never know.
That wire looks awfully good. Zap.
Right. Maybe it's these people who are out, like the thugs, the copper wire cutters.
Or the EV wire cutters. That's
the
a thing
EV
now,
wire.
Apparently. Who are you people? What are you doing going around cutting EV wires? Knock it off.
Well, at first I thought, like,
there's hardly enough of them as it is.
Don't you think, like, it's people who see these cables and think they can steal them and sell them? I am skeptical that it's some sort of, like, I hate EVs.
Well, I have no idea why you would do something like this.
Yeah.
But you're a knucklehead and you're a ding dong. Stop it.
Well, sure. Yeah. It's really stupid and annoying.
It accomplishes nothing. But whatever it is you're hoping to accomplish, you're not accomplishing it. Stop it.
The texts are great. Like, when things were failing.
Yeah.
So I wasn't paying attention to any of this. Usually I'm...
You were focused on your interview, which is what you should be. That's why I didn't tell you.
Yeah.
This would have been an enormous distraction to you.
Oh, I would have lost it.
Yeah.
I would have lost it.
That's why we didn't tell you.
Your radio station... What else are you guys not telling me?
Oh,
what else is happening at this place that no one tells me about?
No idea.
Your radio station is cutting out. Sounds like you're underwater.
Yeah.
Your sound is bad.
Yeah.
What's amazing is, like, people initially blame themselves, which...
That's a very Minnesotan thing to do.
It's really
got to be something on
my radio. Yeah. I'm just checking in.
Yep. I had a lady call in and wondered if something was wrong with her speakers.
Yeah.
I said, no, ma'am, that is not you. It is us. No. We apologize. We'll get it fixed as quick as we can. Oh, good.
I'm glad they all told us it was back, too, because, you know, again, no one told me, right. No one told me it was bad. No one told me it was good. Like, we didn't want to.
There was no reason for you.
Is that what I've become? Like, there was a point over in my TV career that, like, I knew how to change the toner. I knew where the bodies were buried. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened at that TV, I could set up a live shot.
Yeah.
Like, I could get, you know, if you ever see a TV news live truck and there's this giant telescoping thing up in the air.
Sure.
Like, I could do that. I could set it up, tune it in. Like, because my first job at Channel 4 was Saturday morning reporter. And Saturday morning,
you got to do it all yourself.
Well, it was me and Brad Early. And Brad Early would sometimes get to work, say, you know, a little later than he should have.
Really?
And we would go rolling out to be live for this 8 a.m. show that I'm sure no one was watching.
Right.
And
I wasn't.
We were like, we got to get this live shot tuned in.
Yeah.
And so Brad would be rolling out cable, and I'd be setting up the truck. The point of telling this story, first of all, is just so you're all so impressed at how amazing I am. But also that, like, I used to know stuff.
You're not a technical Luddite.
And here, I don't know anything.
No, you don't.
What are the odds that that audio clip of me saying, here, I don't know anything, and you saying, no, you don't, is going to be heard? What show do you think it'll be on tomorrow?
Oh, it's got to be on ours. And we still have an hour and 15 left. I don't know that I would presume it would take till tomorrow to get that on the show.
I mean, now
Brad, like, can do that stuff from home.
The big shots,
yeah,
apparently have nothing else to worry about.
Oh,
someone kicked the transmitter, and now it worked.
Did the old Fonz? There's a dated reference for you, isn't it?
Why?
You see, there was a show, kids. The guy would hit the jukebox.
Boom! With a hip, like a hip check. Well, during the show, I was having a problem with my computer here. I restarted it. Like, there are only like six possible things you can do to fix anything that's broken. Hip check.
Mm-hmm.
Restart.
Power cycle, yeah.
Well, that's different. So you get the restart, and then you also have the full-on, like, shut it down. Then you have, like, the unplug from the wall.
Sure.
That's a good one if you've ever called the cable company. These are all good ways to try to fix things. I wanted to talk about...
what we were going to do.
I don't know. How about we take a break and we talk about what I wanted to talk about after the break? How do you feel about that?
Excellent idea.
Thanks for all the texts. This is actually a really good way just to, like... When we get the Nielsen ratings and it says, here's where you're at, we can say, like, well, look at all these texts. Like, the signal went out. We got 4,700 texts.
But we appreciate that people are listening and that they care enough to
let us know. It's very helpful.
Honestly, very much appreciate the person that was listening to us in the store.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. I should just give you guys my cell, and you guys can tell me what's going on, since Cook is keeping all the secrets from me.
That's an amazing idea.
Really? I should give out my...
I think that's an incredible idea.
All right. We'll take a break, and when we come back, I'll give out my cell phone number. It is time for traffic cameras, for safety cameras, for red light, for speed. It's time. In Minnesota, the city of Minneapolis tried to put in PhotoCop in 2007, remember? And it was... ruled as a violation of state law. So the Supreme Court stopped it in 2007. Now they're working, the city is, to get state legislators to kind of change the state law that would make this a thing. I guarantee you that traffic cameras alone, the existence of the threat, would get people to drive safer. Do you agree with me? 651-461-9226. I think it is a no-brainer for safety. The urgency is there, especially after the pandemic. Deaths have risen. Serious injuries have risen. Pedestrians are getting hit. The roads are more dangerous than I remember them being in my life. Our cars are safer than ever, which in a way gives us this false sense of security, right? We can do whatever we want. You can text, you can speed, you can run a red light. I think some people have safety concerns in Minneapolis, and they're using that as an excuse to run a red light. Well, I'm worried I'm going to get carjacked. Well, you know, your safety concern does not outweigh the safety concerns of everybody else who's trying to follow the law and drive safely. There are privacy concerns here, and I do have some, like, due process concerns, right? Because I don't think there should be a gross misdemeanor on my record based on a traffic camera picture that sort of maybe shows my face and maybe shows my license plate. Well, they'll get a good shot of your license plate, but you know what I mean. What if somebody else is driving the car? What if, you know, what if, what if, what if? But the way Minneapolis is proposing it is that fines would be set at $40. A first violation would be a warning and wouldn't require any payment. And a ticket would not go on your driving record. The truth is cops aren't pulling people over as much. They just aren't. And so what are we going to do? We're just going to say, well, we got to hire more cops. Well, yeah, all right, yes. And it's time to have a pilot program of this stuff. Change the law, allow it to be tested, and let's go. Like, yes, the law has to change. The law in Minnesota does not allow it. There are concerns about surveillance. There are concerns about, is the real incentive of this to make money off of tickets? I believe that the motivation is safety. It's not about juicing the collections. And it's time. Because we're failing. We're not safe on the roads. So we need better enforcement, and cameras are a part of it.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.